First Peter chapter 1, please. Verses 13 to 19. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God for every word we just read. Amen. I am glad that I have this book. And I'm glad that all of us have access to the Bible still in 2025 in paper. I am happy for having a printed Bible. There's nothing wrong with reading it on our phones. I know that's more convenient, but I'm thankful to the Lord for having a printed Bible still. So in verses we just read, I see a very strong contrast. I can see two different things, and God is accepting only one of them as usual. That is God showing us white and black. I'm talking about color. And he only accepts one of them. And that's one of God's characteristics. God doesn't like the color gray. So, no staying in the middle. That's why he put his word with a black ink on a white piece of paper to show us something. Praise God. So let's go back and read verse 13 again. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Basically, if we keep our mind pure, we read the Word of God, and we read about the hope that we are given in this book, then we'll have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the name of the last book of the entire Bible. Let's open the book of Revelation and let's see whose revelation is this. Is this revelation of John or Jesus given to John? Revelation 1, 1, 2, 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter was talking a little earlier. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, meaning Father, gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and sanctified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and of things that he saw. Blessed. Who is blessed? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. It was 2,000 years ago, about between the year 95 to 100, basically the last year's first century, and John received the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he said, the time is at hand. So how closer we are, just plus 2,000 years. So now we can go back to 1 Peter, our main text, please. We just read verse 13. And then we continue with verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. I was searching about the meaning of the word conversation in the Bible, and I found out it comes from a Greek word I put in your notes, anastrophe. Sorry for my pronunciation. But the meaning of this word, however it pronounces, sorry, my Greek people, I don't think if any Greek people is watching me, but but it means the manner of life, behavior, not only conversation as we speak. It means everything we do, manner of life, how we behave in everything. And then we can keep reading verses 16 and 17. Because it is written, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons. Wow, this was sobering to me. When I was reading this, this is just one of the characteristics of God, that this is not openly talked in so many churches. I guess churches are scared of talking about a God who doesn't respect anyone in person. And I just found this fascinating, that in 1 Peter 1:17, it says very clearly that the Father, without respect of persons, he judgeth. It means God doesn't look at my tie, my coat, and my degrees, my title. He just judgeth me without respect of my everything I reached in life. Without respect of person is one Greek word which pronounces something like aporosproleptes. I know I just butchered it. Sorry. But the meaning is fair, acting not based on the person's social standing or appearance. No favoritism toward anyone. Basically, God doesn't look at my clothing and my titles, but he just look at me and my entire life, and he judgeth everything about me. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning. Sojourning means our not eternal, temporal life here. Sojourning here in fear. Because when I think of a God who doesn't care about my title, and he looks at my entire life and judgeth me, I think it's better for me to behave well in all my conversations, which is the manner of life. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. I think this is very clear. We are not redeemed by corruptible things, but redeemed from what? redeemed, in verse 18 says, redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from what? From your vain conversation, again, vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers. Fathers. So, what I understand is the Heavenly Father is showing us something. My way, or the tradition that you received from your earthly father. Yasin, you are not redeemed from your father's tradition by corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Simply, it means God is rejecting my earthly father's manner of life. And he taught me a lot of things. But when I started reading this book, what I found out is this world, no matter what I studied, where I study, from who I learn things, this book is rejecting all of them. Everything. All together. Put it away, Yasin. Because you are not redeemed by corruptible things from the traditions of your father. Put it away. You don't need that anymore, Yasin. By the grace of God, we have a ministry that helps Iranians, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for Gospel Farsi ministry. And the fruit is obvious. There is no way that it was designed by me or by even my pastor or anyone. It was all designed by God. Praise God. But I can't tell you enough about how many obstacles, problems, misunderstandings, and everything that we had and still have in Farsi ministry. It's only one language out of all the languages around the world. I think most of you know that we had an Islamic revolution in Iran in the late 70s, 1979, and Iran was Iran's Shah, Iran's king was gone, and then Ayatollah came and took over the country. Iranians have, at least based on Bible, at least have 2,500 years of history with kingdom, empire, and all of that. And definitely, we have a lot of man-made, received by father traditions. Iranian New Year is Nowruz, and it is celebrated very well. Everyone is very proud of being Iranian, and it is celebrated on March 21st every year. It's called Nowruz, and it means the new day. Everybody make a beautiful costume, and everybody put different things on the table, and it's called the Table of Seven Sins. And they put different things with the letter starts with S, and it should be about fertility, different things they put, which means different things, and they celebrate it in a very suspicious way. the last Wednesday of the year, they put a big fire and they pass their kids through that fire. And they are. This is celebrated even in Vancouver. You can go. I went and I saw, and it was just pure evil. So all of these traditions that I just explained, just very shortly, do you think God respects that? No. No. So in Gospel Farsi, we were the only Christian ministry. We have a long, extended version of teaching on that one, that Nowruz is not blessed. The Bible is blessed. I'm here. I put my best garment to say this. My beautiful Iranians. Iranian culture is not blessed. This book's culture is blessed. I'm here to formally say to my parents, I am not Iranian. I am Christian. I'm also not Canadian. I'm Christian. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help you Iranians. But I am not Iranian. The only thing I respect about Iranian culture is kebab sometimes. Sometimes. That's it. You know what happened to that table during different decades of Iranian history just recently? When Ayatollahs took over the country, they said that is pagan. You cannot celebrate your Nowruz. And Iranians put away their poetry, 600 or 700 years book. They put it away and they added Quran. And then it was thumbs up from Ayatollahs. And for the last 40 years, if you add your Quran, you're good. You can celebrate your pagan Nowruz, no problem. And what other churches did, they took away Quran and they added Bible to the same seven sins table. They are celebrating it. Does that honor God? No. Put away your seven sins table. That doesn't honor God. We don't have to put what they call it, I guess, colored eggs for fertility beside Bible and say, I am Christian and I celebrate Nowruz. No, I am Christian and I don't celebrate and I don't respect Nowruz, regardless of if you have Quran or poetry book, or even if you add Bible to that. I don't respect Iranian culture because God, without respect of persons, look at my work. And he said, you are not. Let's read this one again. Verse 18. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. No respect for my traditions. So if I call myself a missionary, I should look at this more serious and one more time to see the black and white, what God rejects and what God receives, what God accepts. Definitely the way to help Iranians is not respect their seven sins table. But respecting them, helping them would be showing the Bible to them and showing the full picture, not only John 3:16. Praise God for John 3:16. But now let's read John 3:16 to 18, because we need to see the full picture. Not only the love of God, but also the holiness of God. Amen. John 3:16 to 18. That's usually what I do. I don't stop at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God for John 3:16. But let's keep reading. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. My dear Iranians, and everyone else from different culture, the big picture, the full picture is God is love. God loved the world. But also, God is holy, and there is a condemnation involved in this story, so we have to pay attention. Let's see what Paul did when he was going on mission trip. Let's open Acts chapter 19. And this is just one of his mission trips. Let's study this. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. So he found some disciples that were interested to be with him, learn more about the Word of God, and Paul found them in the city of Ephesus. And now we can jump to verse 8, and we can read it to 10. Acts 19, 8 to 10, please. And he, meaning Paul, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Because there were some people opposing him, didn't like what he was saying. By the way, why they didn't like? Because Paul was merciful and he respected their tradition received by their fathers? Definitely not. He was showing them the full picture. God loves you. Repent. Otherwise, you will be condemned and you will be going to hell. So he didn't respect them. That's why. They were opposing Apostle Paul. But what he did, the disciples he found, he separated them from that multitude. This again reminds me of God's holiness, because God is holy, and holy means separate, separated. And the Apostle Paul separated the disciples from the divers, opposers. What happened after this? There was a lot of other events happening, taking place here. We can jump and read verses 17 to 20. Let's see the revival, because it all comes together. Revival and opposition comes together. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. Like that, how it says. Curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't think if all of us have an idea about how big is this number. I was researching, and I think a good way to calculate that is to calculate BC, where we are right now. The BC minimum wage, which is $17.85. I don't see any happy face here anyway. No problem, I guess. And one piece of silver is 1 day pay for an unskilled labor. And 50,000 pieces of silver times 17.85, it is 7,140,000 dollars, Canadian dollars. So above $7 million worth of curious arts books. This is revival. Why? Because Apostle Paul was saying, the tradition you received from your father is really good, and keep it up. Good job. Wow. Curious arts. Definitely there was some pleasant things to eyes in those books, some magic, sorcery. Maybe some same things that you can call seven sins table. But people brought all of their curious arts books and they burned them. No way back, no way to take it back. Burn them. They didn't donate it. They didn't take it to donation or to some store, secondhand store. Now let's read the same verse, same chapter, but verses 24 to 28, please. 24 to 28. Right after that, again, a position is coming. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Diana is a pagan idol. Brought no small gain unto the craftsman, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, I like how it says sirs, meaning they were high title. They weren't just like normal people, like sirs, because they were wealthy people making big money. You know that by this craft we have our wealth. I don't think if in 2025 none of our middle class people can say we are wealthy, but they were. And 2,000 years ago, they were calling whatever they were making their wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. What Apostle Paul was telling them? What was he telling them? Like, this man, his name was Demetrius, however it's pronounced, sorry. He was probably skilled on what he was doing. And he was wealthy. He had other people backing up on him and helping him. He had probably a lot of money. And I think nobody could start doing whatever he was doing at maybe 30s or 40s. Probably he used to learn that from his father, a generational kind of occupation. And Apostle Paul was bold enough to show him the message of this book. Apostle Paul didn't respect Diana. Apostle Paul didn't respect the Demetrius occupation. He wasn't also scared of his title. He wasn't also scared of the sirs that from the same occupation of him. What Apostle Paul was showing him? What was he telling him? Let's open Exodus 20 and see what was the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. What was the first one? Exodus 20, please. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. This is the main message of Apostle Paul to Demetrius. There is no record of Demetrius repenting, but we have a record of Apostle Paul's ministry. And they were sirs opposing Apostle Paul. Let's open Acts 19 again, please. And let's read the rest of the story, which is in a real story. The event, I should say. So we read Acts 19, 25, and now we should read 26. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people. There was a big noise he was making. He wasn't being quiet. Apostle Paul was making a big noise in Ephesus, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. One guy. I never read about how big was Brother Paul, Apostle Paul. I'm not sure if he was like a scary man. I don't think he was like 6'5". I think he was an ordinary man, but he was bold enough to go to Ephesus and show the craftsmen that what you are doing is evil. Put it away. And he was bold, and he made a big noise there. He was helping them. That's a ministry. He didn't respect them. Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. The sirs, wealthy sirs, were full of wrath. Scary, right? No. And cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana. Do you know the equivalent of that in 2025 is Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is greater. So the fashion changed. The message is the same. What happened to Apostle Paul? Praise God that the book of Acts, it keeps going. Yes. Chapter 19 is not the last chapter. We have also chapter 20, 21, all the way to 28. So the angry craftsman who was making idol for Diana, he was wealthy, he was a sir. He had other people helping him with the same occupation. He wasn't scary enough. He wasn't scary enough for Apostle Paul to stop. He was keep doing what he was called to and called for. In your note, you see the difference between comma and period. If you and I were there, we could think, okay, this is the end of me because the wealthy people of the city are angry against my ministry and they are saying, because their wealth is in danger, so I am in danger. But this was a comma. God had other things. You know what we know about that city? We have a letter to one of the best churches.
Yes.
Ephesians.
That's amazing. Very good.
Let's open.
Very good.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And let's see what Apostle Paul wrote to them, to the church of Ephesians.
Right.
He wasn't scared of Demetrius. He wrote a letter. He helped them. Without respect of persons, he helped them. And let's read Ephesians 3, 7 to 12, please. Whereof I was made a minister, Apostle Paul is saying, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men, Demetrius is involved in this all men. He is included in this all men. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Diana was an earthly form, a piece of wood, made out of the heavenly way of picture or whatever it's called. The boss is up there. The heavenly places, principalities. Diana was a piece of wood. Paul is preaching against them. So who's Diana? And who is the servant of Diana? That's just like too small for Apostle Paul's message. And Demetrius was too little for Apostle Paul's God.
Yes.
Not scary.
That's right.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, in whom we have boldness. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness, we have access with confidence. Where is it coming from? Faith. The faith of him. By the way, it means this is not my faith. It is his faith that he gave to me, to us. So even the faith is his, given by him. I can just say yes to his faith, then I receive it all. So then there's nothing scary in this world. Allahu Akbar is not scary. You can help me to see my Lord sooner. Go ahead. No problem. You can only help me. That's it. I'm not scared. Without any respect to your tradition. Because you received that from your earthly father. I received this from my heavenly father. Welcome. Come here. This is also yours. You can take it. You can read this book and get saved. But if you have any other choice, it's your choice, but you can only do it on your own. You can't harm me without respect of persons, without respect of any tradition from anywhere on earth. Bible is the word of God. Gospel is the only way to get saved, to go to Jesus and see his face. Amen. This is the only way. Amen. As a missionary, I decided to help my people. How? Respecting them? Respecting them, but not respecting their traditions. By showing them the full picture. God is love, but he's also holy. Put away whatever you received from your father, earthly father. Receive everything from your heavenly father and say yes to his plan, which is one. So for all of us here, if we are saved, we can calculate it one more time, no problem. But for anyone who is not saved and who's not sure that if tonight is the last night of your life, this message is yours. We receive things from our parents. Some of us receive some wealth. Some of us receive some behavior, good or bad. But one thing is for sure, and that is the condemnation of death. We receive that from our earthly parents, and they receive that from their parents, and it goes back to Adam and Eve. Yes. So it's 6,000 years. We are dying because we are sinners. By the way, sin is not in my hand. My hand might be clean. I never killed anyone. But sins are here. When I think, I'm sinning. And I killed a lot of people here by thinking about them angry. When I'm thinking about someone with anger, equivalent, I'm killing them in my mind. So sin is in me because I received it from my father and he received it from his father. And it goes back to Adam. We are dying because we are sinners. Romans 3:23. We all know that, but it's always good to read it one more time. For all, Demetrius is in this all. Yassin also is in this all. For all have sinned and come short to the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That's your daily English word, right? No. Propitiation means the price for our sins or for our fault. Basically, if I break this TV, I have to pay the price. Otherwise, pastor will be angry at me. So, the price... Yes. So the price I pay for this TV will be the propitiation, so-called. So when it says propitiation, it means the price for our sins, which is not only on my hand, but it is rooted in my mind. and I was born with it. So the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God, meaning Father, hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. All have sinned. There is only one way to come out of this list of all sinners. How? Receiving the blood of Jesus and putting my trust on his perfect work on the Calvary cross. So now we should read 1 Corinthians 15 to see more detail about what he did and how he did. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. Apostle Paul is saying, I received it and now I'm giving it to you. So I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I love when it twice says, according to the scriptures, in two verses. And the reason is, there is a connection between our Old Testament and New Testament. In Old Testament, God said, human, hello, you are sinner and you are going to die, going to hell. But wait for me. I promise you, I will save you. That's what God said. And in the New Testament, God said, hey, do you remember I told you that you are sinner? You are still sinner. I was coming to save you. By the way, hello, I came. You can get saved now. So this is why in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, twice we have, according to scriptures, it is said and done exactly the way he said it. And I have a habit of jumping from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 to Matthew 26, 28. And the reason is I never, never want to forget the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because he paid. The currency he paid was his blood. Matthew 26, 28, please. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. How he paid? He paid on the cross. With what he paid? By his blood. Right? So, we have everything now. Demetrius heard this message. He refused, at least to my knowledge. He might got saved after that, but he refused. But in 2025, we still have time to think about this. We just heard gospel message. We can be Demetrius and think of our non-existing wealth, but also we can get saved and we can put our trust on the blood of Jesus and his perfect work on the cross. It's a choice. It's a choice. Nothing like Allahu Akbar, which is like a force. This is not a force. This is a choice. I love the choice. I don't like to be forced. Praise God for the gospel of salvation, the message of this book, which can save still to this night. Praise God. Let's bow down and pray.